service, opening hymn number 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Please stand on the third verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our hymn of praise is This is the Feast. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his glorious ascension, and his promise to return again on the last day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who teaches, guides, and leads us into all truth. Heavenly Father, may the truth of your word taught to us by the Holy Spirit convict our hearts as you would have them to be convicted. Point us always and ever to the completed work of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is in his powerful and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 477.
Setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it's listed in our bulletin. We'll sing it together.
Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations, Alleluia. His right hand is holy arm, and works salvation for him.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Whose blood
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampart wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Number 556, verses 1 through 5. 556, 1 through 5.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Text for our meditation this morning, the Holy Gospel that we heard just a moment ago, John 16, verses 5 through 15, especially these words. And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, and righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you convicted? What do you think of when you hear that question? Most likely you think of the legal system, you think of the courtroom. No, I've never been in the system. I've never been adjudicated. I've never been convicted of anything. We hear of people who are convicted felons, convicted sex offenders. And then we hear this conviction language, and our ears are set at attention. What in the world is Jesus talking about here as he gives us a glimpse on this Maundy Thursday night? He gives us a glimpse of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of odd that during this season of Easter, our focus is already shifting. It's teaching us about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's teaching us about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, teaching us what to expect and what to anticipate. The disciples were clueless. Now I'm going to him who sent me, he says. And none of you asks me, where are you going? They're too full of sorrow and despair. Jesus is leaving. The gig is up. We're going to be left all by ourselves. Woe is me. But Jesus will have none of this. Woe is me, whining and complaining by this band of disciples. He says, no, I'm leaving, and it is to your benefit that I am leaving. How can it be to the disciples' benefit that Jesus is leaving? How can it be to your benefit that Jesus is leaving? The ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus, 40 days after his physical resurrection from the dead, completes his work of salvation. The Holy Spirit cannot point us to the completed work of Jesus until and unless Jesus completes it. Jesus takes on flesh and blood. Jesus places himself under God's holy law, the law that condemns us, the law that he fulfilled. Jesus takes our sin on himself all the way to Calvary's cross. He bleeds and he dies. His stone-cold dead body is placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he rises from the dead, never to die again. And on the 40th day of Easter, Jesus physically, bodily, ascends to heaven and assumes his rightful place at the right hand of God. He's not physically stuck there. It's a position of power. And from there, he rules and fills all things. And the Father and the Son send the Spirit to testify to the completed work of Jesus Christ. The disciples didn't get that. Many of us don't get it as well. We think that somehow Jesus has abandoned us. If only Jesus were here, then we wouldn't have all these problems in the world. We wouldn't have all these problems in our country. We wouldn't have all these problems in our church, or in our city, or in my family, or in my heart. My friends, Jesus has not left us. He is with us. Really present with us. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a ministry of conviction. A ministry of conviction. That's what God's Word teaches us right here. There's another way that this word conviction is used. Usually we use it in the plural. He is a man of many convictions. We're not talking about how many times he's been worked through the legal system. We're talking about someone who feels strongly and passionately about a particular topic, a firm or a fixed belief. We might say it this way. The person was unable to be swayed from his conviction in spite of many convincing arguments. All of us have many deep, heartfelt convictions. Things that we feel very strongly about. Things that we are very passionate about. Things that we will not negotiate, whatever. We are convicted on this particular topic. We are convicted on this particular belief. We are sure and certain. The question then comes, where do your convictions come from? Where do your heartfelt and fixed beliefs come from? Your favorite news network? Your mom and dad or grandma or grandpa? Your political party affiliation? Your heart? Your ego? My friends, we all have serious, heartfelt convictions, whether we admit it or not. Where do they come from? What God's Word is teaching us today is that Christians should have their convictions come from God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ministry of conviction, convicting our heart, convicting our mind, convicting our attitude and our actions, forming us and shaping us according to the Word of God. Not the Word of the world, the Word of God. Not the Word of me, myself, and I, the Word of God. Not the Word of political pundits, but the Word of God. Where do your convictions come from? Jesus talks about a threefold ministry of conviction. When he comes, verse 8 of John 16, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. My friends, we are quick to point out sins, individual sins in other people. Sometimes we might even be so bold as to point them out in ourselves. People shouldn't lie. People shouldn't cheat. People shouldn't steal. People shouldn't sleep around. We are quick to point out these individual sins, and they are individual sins, and they should be taken serious. The Holy Spirit convicts us that the primary sin, the sin from which all other sins flow, is the sin of unbelief. To not know and acknowledge that there is one God and one God only, one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three, and all other gods, so-called, are false gods, false idols. My friends, Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Apart from Jesus and a saving knowledge of his life, death, and resurrection, we stand condemned already. And not just we, but the whole world. John chapter 3. Romans 3 says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The ministry of conviction with regard to the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin is that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners. Our hearts are at enmity, at war with God. There's kind of a new movement in Christianity. Don't really like to talk about sin as sin. You're not really a sinner. Your soul is just sick. What do you do when you're sick? Well, you get a prescription and you get better. Maybe a performance-enhancing drug. Does God's word teach that way about our sin-sick heart? No! It says your heart is dead, stone-cold dead, and you need a heart transplant. People in our world, people in the church, don't like to talk about sin. You're not really a sinner, you're just broken. Oh. So what do we do with broken things? We mend them. We fix them. My friends, there is no mending or fixing our condition. The Holy Spirit convinces us that we are sinners, not only by the actions that we do and perform, but by the sin that we inherited from our parents all the way to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and this sin condemns us. Apart from the God-provided solution for sin, there is no hope. But the ministry of conviction by the Holy Spirit doesn't stop with a conviction of sin. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. It seems odd that the Holy Spirit would have to convince us that Jesus is not here. Jesus physically, bodily, ascended into heaven, completing his work. The Holy Spirit convinces us, convicts us, that everything necessary for our salvation, everything necessary for our righteousness, has been completed in the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It is done. Jesus did not say, as he hung bleeding and dying on the cross, "I've done my part, now the rest is up to you." He said, "It is finished." What is finished? Your salvation, your righteousness. If your salvation, your righteousness is not finished, then guess who has to do the rest? You do. The ministry of conviction of the Holy Spirit concerning righteousness convinces us, convicts us that we cannot do anything to improve or inherit eternal life. As we sang in our sermon hymn, our good works avail us nothing. Nothing toward our salvation. My friends, God's gift of righteousness is yours. Fully and completely. In 2 Corinthians 5, God teaches us, "For our sake, God made him," Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus accomplishes this perfect righteousness for you, for the world, and then he gives it away. He gives it away in the waters of holy baptism. He gives it away as we hear his word and receive his body and blood in the supper. He gives us and gives us and gives us the righteousness, the only righteousness that can save. Psalm 143 says it this way: Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. The ministry of conviction by the Holy Spirit convicts us, convinces us that salvation is in Christ and his righteousness alone. Our good works follow God's gift of faith, but they do not earn or merit salvation in any way, shape, or form. If they did, we would always be in doubt. Have I ever done enough? Maybe I should have done more. My friends, the good news, the work of the Holy Spirit, is not a ministry of doubt, but a ministry that calls us to be sure and certain of the righteousness of Jesus. There's one more in Psalm 143, kind of gave us a little bit of a hint there as well. The third part of this ministry of conviction by the Holy Spirit is the ministry of judgment. Concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world, Satan. Satan and all of his minions. Who is it that tempts us to sin? The devil. And the devil through the world. And the devil through our own sinful flesh, that old Adam or that old Eve. My friends, the work of the devil is strong among us. The devil would convince you that the world's words are true and that the word of God is a lie. The devil's world and word would convince and convict you that God doesn't know, God doesn't care, it's all up to you. The devil's word would convince you and convict you that God doesn't really care and that your salvation is in doubt. My friends, when Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday, Satan's head was smashed. He is a defeated enemy. But much like a snake, when you chop its head off, it worms around and gives at least the appearance of life. A snake with its head chopped off can't harm you, but it can sure scare you. That's Satan today. He is a defeated enemy. All he has left are lies and innuendo and half-truths. My friends, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is truth? The Word of God. The Word of God in its totality and entirety. God's gift, his inspired, infallible, inerrant word for you. This word will never run out of teaching and encouragement and peace and comfort and forgiveness for you. This is why we are here, where God promises to be present in His Word, in His sacrament. As God continues through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of conviction, to mold us and shape us, to form us and convince us, as God would have us be molded and formed and shaped and convinced. You know, sometimes when we have the prayer of the church, the collect of the church early on in the service, sometimes those words just kind of float right by. The prayer, the collect that we prayed earlier today, sums up this ministry of conviction perfectly and beautifully. Oh God, You make the minds of Your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what You have commanded and desire what You promise. That among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed, convicted, where true joys are found. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our courage, and our conviction in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our conviction, our faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand as you are able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
It's time to continue with the prayer of the church. In addition to those prayer requests listed in the bulletin, we also pray for Heather and Shane Benson, who were united in holy matrimony at our altar yesterday. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give You humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that You have bestowed upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise You especially for preserving for us Your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to Your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine. Provide faithful pastors to preach Your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in mercy bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendments of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Sustain them with your spirit, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who experience persecution. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all of those in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Bless also all who serve in our armed forces, that they may serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings. Let all useful arts flourish among us. Be also the God and the Father of the lonely and the forsaken. Be the helper of the sick and the needy. Be the comforter of the distressed and all of those who sorrow. Look with mercy especially upon those who have requested our prayers, including Peggy, Ken, Tish, Sharon, Joe, Bob, Francine, Norma, Loretta, Al, Rachel, Lori, Bentley, Vern, Richard, Irma, Shirley, Mildred, Ruth, Marilyn, Melissa, Heather, Shane, Rahama, Paris, Daniel, Lawson, Mel, and anyone else whom we name in our hearts. That whatever they face, they may always cling to Jesus as their sure and certain hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the very body and blood of Jesus in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, as we are but strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by a true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world that is to come, doing the work you give us to do while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. When our last hour does come, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You
may be seated. Please stand as we sing the offertory. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise You on this day for the glorious resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By His dying He has destroyed death, and by His rising again He has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God above and high, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take and eat, this is My body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of Me. In the same way also He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 488, He is Arisen, Glorious Word. Please remain standing.
Of Jesus, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, all the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have coffee and goody in the fellowship hall. One opportunity for adult Bible study today. Last week we started a new study of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 titled Joyful Generosity. That'll run for several weeks. Please join us. And this morning between service, there'll be a little activity kind of rooting around in there. At our 10:30 service today, we'll be receiving new members. And so we've got some activities, assimilation activities for the new members that we'll be receiving. If you see somebody with a name tag on, greet them, welcome them. There's a listing in the bulletin of the new member families that we'll be receiving. And I see Pastor Moline. We'll be receiving Pastor Moline today as a new member. Yeah, we need to do that a little more often here. We are thankful for the Moline family, even if it took us a little while to officially welcome you. We do have Vacation Bible School coming up first full week in June. We need help on a variety of levels, but most of all, we need kids. So encourage your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor kids, whatever, to be here with us. Our theme is Follow the Lamb Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. So join us for coffee and goodies, study of God's Word. Also be reminded that our services are broadcast live every Sunday. Pass the word during these summer months, 8 and 10:30, Wednesdays at 6:30. And we pray that many people would hear the good news and sing the new song, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus. Anything else, Pastor? Vicar, your youngin' had a birthday this week.
He did. He turned one on Friday, so ate lots of cake. We shook him up too much, and Grandpa was wearing his clerical, and he filled his pocket full. So.
Okay, all right. Well, I know his grandpa, so that was a good move on Dawson's part. Well, congratulations. Congratulations, and seems to me the vicar's got a birthday coming up here pretty soon, too.
Yeah, pretty
soon. All right. Please join us. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus Christ.